Hi, I'm Sean Morgan of QAnonFAQ.com, and this is Over the Horizon with Jim Cutler. In this show, I interview Jim about the Great Awakening as he lives aboard his sailboat in a global journey of discovery. To subscribe to this podcast on your favorite platform, go to overthehorizon.tv. Don't you feel like giving back to the heroes who risk their lives every day to make the world a safer place? I mean, the military, the police, the firefighters, the first responders, they don't get enough respect or gratitude. To think that there are homeless veterans right now, I mean, they deserve a place to live. Well, my friend Lucas is a veteran who was tired of seeing other vets living on the street, and he started HeroSoapCompany.com. He makes natural soap that's healthier for you and your family. He uses essential oils, goat's milk, coconut oil. And if you have sensitive skin or dry skin, it's really perfect. But you can actually get a subscription and get it delivered to your door every month. But the best part is that it helps heroes like homeless vets get a place to live. Go over to HeroSoapCompany.com, use the coupon code QFAQ to get a discount, and check out all the varieties. And my favorite one's peppermint because of the aroma, the fresh tingly feeling. It's really an awesome natural product for your family. But while you're there, learn about the charities that the Hero Soap Company supports. So you can support the heroes, support your health, support your family with chemical-free soap, and support the channel through HeroSoapCompany.com. Well, here we are with Jim Cutler. Jim is aboard his boat, and we're about to start another Over the Horizon episode here. Welcome to the show, Jim. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much. Looking forward to a lot of things that are coming up fast and furious.
Yes, actually, the Department of Justice is going to be releasing or doing an announcement in about an hour from now about something that has to do with national security concerns. So I guess my mind goes straight to Antifa when it has to do with national security, but I guess we'll just have to wait and see on that. So the big topic on my mind is Trump and COVID. And so, you know, he's going to be in isolation for another week or around that. And so I'm going to just kind of go through all the different scenarios of what could be happening. And then I want to get your response, Jim. So yeah, I'm going to share my screen and go over this video from Chismaga that showed on TV there was some kind of guy with gloves who went to the podium at the debate and he wiped down the podium and the microphone. And that would have been a perfect opportunity to infect the president with coronavirus. And it's just weird. If you take a look at the people who have announced testing positive for coronavirus, you have a bunch of people from the White House, including the press secretary. You've got two ranking senators, Ron Johnson and Tom Tillis, both Republican, and Mike Lee. And you have Governor Chris Christie, of all people, some other people from the White House, like Kellyanne Conway and stuff. So it's just interesting that this virus knows to only infect Republicans. And that brings out this scenario that did the president really get coronavirus from a biological warfare attack where someone did bio warfare terrorism and purposefully, whether it's at the debate or at another event or whatever, purposefully infect the president. And so if that's so, you would think that that would come to light and the president would make a big deal about that. And so far, that has not been the narrative. So far, the president has downplayed the fact that only Republicans have gotten this virus. So that's one scenario I wanted to go over. And another scenario I wanted to go over is how it's just weird that the president went to Walter Reed in July and wore this exact same outfit that he wore when he went to Walter Reed this time around.
the same color tie, the same pin, the same color suit, the same exact mask, everything down to a T. So back in July, when he was walking around and we were all like, what the heck is the president doing wearing a mask? Could he have been kind of capturing that extra footage needed to make it seem like he's really at Walter Reed this time around when he's really not at Walter Reed? And the question is, where would he be? And so this goes to, you know, the QAnon posts where we talk about how the president will be insulated and protected on Air Force One. And during the final stage of Operation Q, when they're actually high level arrests, the president's going to be not be on national television. The president's going to be insulated on Air Force One. And it says in this post, 10 days darkness, scare tactics. Then it says, where is POTUS? So this is also kind of pointing to the idea that the president's going to be kind of missing in action during this entire period. And it says 10 days, and 10 days is the exact amount of time that they've said that the president's going to be isolated for this coronavirus. And that brings me to the next resource here, which is the fact that when the president created a video when he was supposedly in Walter Reed, the whole room was moving like he was on an aircraft carrier or a submarine. Now, it could be a very simple explanation, like maybe they're using a handheld camera, but only an idiot would take video of the president with a handheld camera. You know, you use a tripod. That's what professionals do. So if they were using a tripod and the whole room was moving, that means they were on, a plane or a ship or a sub. And so what would the president be doing there instead of being at Walter Reed? And so there are two scenarios here, and I know I'm kind of running out of time. I wanted to keep this to 5 minutes, but one scenario being that he is insulating himself so that these arrests can happen and everything, and he can be protected and he can be in a command and strategic commands kind of role because he's the commander in chief of the military. Or this whole thing is a head fake to cause confusion to the deep state, which is what I'm leaning towards. And I want to, and you can just see that the mainstream media has been super confused about which way to spin this. They don't know whether to say he's sick and he's dying or he doesn't have COVID at all. They have no idea what to say. They seem really confused. So if they're confused, that means they weren't prepared. If they weren't prepared, that means they didn't infect him. If they would have infected him on purpose, they would have had a whole plan on how to spin this. And so the last point I want to make is that this changes the whole coronavirus narrative. Because before, the whole country was in a state of fear, psychological fear relating to coronavirus. And also, there was kind of a question about treatment and therapies, what really works and what's allowed to be used. And this has all, the president, with a beautiful kind of only a Hollywood, reality TV star like him could do the type of showmanship where he gets remdesivir and it's used on him and successful and he's cured over the space of a couple of days. And he shows up triumphantly on the balcony of the White House and he rips his mask off and he says, don't be afraid of this coronavirus. Don't let it dominate you. We've got the best medicines in the world. Look at me. I'm feeling amazing. I haven't felt better in 20 years. I beat this thing. And so now the whole, he's a hero. He's got the sympathy right. card. He yep. beat coronavirus. He's superhuman. The remdesivir now is a miracle drug. And the coronavirus fear story is over. And he says, I went to the real school. I learned about coronavirus. There's a lot that I learned and I'm going to be sharing it with you. And so this whole operation, and I still view it as an operation, even if he really did get coronavirus, the way he framed everything was framed in the way of an operation to help the American people and our collective consciousness triumph over the fear of coronavirus and provide a path forward on how to deal with it. And so remdesivir seems to be at the center of this, since that's what he used at the hospital. So, Jim, what is your response to all these points?
Well, I mean, there's a lot there. And I'm trying to, as I'm listening to this, taking some notes here, trying to think how best to approach this. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take two things and then work backwards. I'm going to take what is actually happening. When you look at the responses on both the left and the right, and both of those responses are critically important, and the fact that seemingly many on the right, Republicans in the administration in particular, are suddenly coming down with COVID. And then the timing of the D-class, where he's now come out and stated, like shouting from the rooftops, I'm declassifying everything, and there will be no redactions. So let's just start there.
Yeah. The timing is what really freaked me out at the beginning of this whole thing. I just thought to myself, of all of the times that the president could have got coronavirus, right in the middle of Red October, when all of this D-class and stuff is supposed to go on, and he's supposed to be insulated on Air Force One when the high level arrests happen.
Right.
Like, this is just a freaky timing.
Oh, it is. And again, that's important. Timing is important. I mean, everything that we do as Anons is predicated by timing. Everything that all of the cue drops are predicated on timing. And that was said from the get-go. So the whole operation here has a choreography, and it's quite tight and it's quite well thought out. So that's why I like to work backwards at the result, the outcome of the act, or whatever you want to call it, and then look at the timing of the act. When did this get done? When did that get done? And things like that, to sort of get the whole process and the flow and the movement of it that then culminates in what we know to be true.
I mean, he was able to do this in between debates. Like, he didn't lose any time for anything important. I mean, if he could not have possibly timed this infection better.
Right. And this is the thing. I mean, this really begs credulity in the form of, how is it possible that he can do this to such high impact and effectiveness on an ongoing and repeatable basis? It really is quite superhuman. And one has to admit that. I mean, it really is. I mean, we all talk about the art of war and things like that, but, you know, I'm constantly highly impressed by how effective it is when I look at the reaction of people. And this is everything. The reaction of people is everything. He has to make sure that the American people are going to come out for him in numbers on the 3rd. And what he just did, or what just happened, is ensuring that. And I did notice that, you know, everybody wanted him to state publicly that he will accept the outcome of the election no matter what. And he waited. And I noticed the wording he used was somewhat obtuse right up until a point. And when we got to that point, he came out and said, yeah, all good, I'll accept the election no matter what. It was at that point he knew it was in the bag. No question in his mind whatsoever. So at this point, I take that and say, okay, they know they're winning. They're going to win the election. There's no question on the part of any of our people about that. So good. Okay, we can put that aside now and we can move forward. Now, knowing that he is absolutely going to get reelected, then all of these other things, the COVID thing, announcing D-Class. These are all things that are going to absolutely embolden and excite not just the base, but everybody. I mean, look how many people turned out for the walkaway march in D.C. Those aren't Republicans. He is exciting the entirety of the American population. And he is saying things in an order of priority that hits people emotionally. And it's extremely effective. And we're seeing the results of it. The deep state is absolutely crushed at this point with this, because they just can't believe how effective his work is being. So that's the stuff that really is key. Now, I can't really honestly speak to, the guy wiping down his podium. There's no way I'll believe that. You've got Secret Service all over the place. Nobody touches his podium that isn't either Secret Service or is absolutely monitored by Secret Service. You're going to wipe it down with that rag? Here, I will give you the rag. You know what I'm saying? So they're not going to leave that to open to any kind of possibility. So I kind of scratch that off the list.
Except for there is evidence that other people got coronavirus at the debates.
No question about that. And I'm not questioning that at all. But what I am saying is that if you wanted to script something, then that's what you do. You'd have somebody go up, this seemingly anonymous person, and wipe down his podium and not do Biden's, because that's Biden's team and they don't know what's going on. So he's going to wipe down the podium. That just creates speculation. And now people seem to have come down with COVID. Whether they did or not is speculation. You know, I haven't seen any tests. I haven't seen any proof whatsoever. And quite frankly, I wouldn't believe it if I saw it. I don't like coincidences. I detest coincidences. Either they are an act an attack using a bioweapon, and that part is true, or it's a scripted, play, rehearsal or play.
And the media's heads exploded during this entire Trump COVID fiasco. They just couldn't get on the same page about what was going on and how to spin it. They were saying that he was dying and that we needed to replace him with the 25th Amendment and all this stuff. Yes. And they were saying that he doesn't have coronavirus. They were saying that he's putting everyone at risk by going on a little drive with the windows closed. And just couldn't handle it. It was out of their control. And so they acted like people who were freaking out by that feeling of lack of control.
And that's the thing. When you create a scenario, situation where your target audience is going to react in one of two ways. Let me give you an example. He says he's come down with coronavirus. You've got some people like that, Ranheem, former White House staffer for Obama, saying, "I hope he dies." Straight up, "I hope he dies." And then you've got Biden giving all his, sugary sweet, wishes for the Trumps to get better and all that. Okay. Those are the two reactions. What he's doing right now is making it so that no matter what you have, any reaction you want, deep state, go ahead, knock yourself out. Every reaction you think might work is not going to work. And I know that beforehand.
Yeah.
And so for them, it's like, because they don't go rogue. They all get together. They get their 4 a.m. talking points. And that's what you hear on the news. But you're not seeing that now. Now everybody's going, doing their own thing. It's like suddenly the military, their military, the deep state military, in terms of all these CIA operatives, are now like running around like chickens with their heads cut off, because they don't know what to do. And there's nobody really leading them anymore. Whatever is happening in the background of these people's operation and it is their, that's their operation. They've lost the plot, and their people are not getting clear instruction. And what we're seeing is the result.
Yeah, that's a good point, Jim, that I never considered, is the idea that the deep state puppet masters could have had like communications cut off or something like that. Now, whether, you know, Trump was actually at Walter Reed and all that stuff, you know, the point is that that might have been a point where operations took place. There were a couple of repeated phrases that I think are important. One is he kept on saying, "I will never forget." Did you notice that, Jim? Just kept saying, "I will never forget. I will never forget." And it seemed out of place, like disconnected. Like he just threw it in at the end of the talk. And "I will never forget. Bye." And so that brings two things to mind. One, it brings to mind 9/11, how we will never forget what happened. And we will basically, we will have our revenge. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, I just did a search for never forget on the Q boards. And that is said by Q, referring to operators saying, "We will never forget your service." Mm-hmm. So to me, that could have been Trump speaking to two different audiences, speaking to the deep state and saying, "We will never forget 9/11. We will never forget, and we will take care of it, and we will have our revenge." And he could have been speaking to the white hats and saying, "We will never forget your service. What you're doing right now at this moment in these operations, we will never forget your service." So,
and that's the beauty of suggestion. And that's what that is. That's called a suggestion. And they are powerful words, especially when they are words that were embedded already. "We will never forget" was an already embedded suggestion to the American psyche. So now every time you bring that up, the mind, whether it's conscious or not, is going to go to that. Right. Yeah, that's right. We'll never forget. I mean, the people that joined the military after 9/11 and the reaction of Americans to really want to have revenge after 9/11, even though the target of their revenge was, you know, incorrect, demonstrates the power of those suggestions. So now, and again, you know, Trump, when Trump speaks, he's talking to everybody, deep state and white hat alike. So everything he said has to have that double meaning, not necessarily a double entendre, but it's going to have that impact the way they need it to be impactful, depending on who the person or who the audience is. So you are absolutely correct. That was a powerful suggestion, and it has a totally different meaning for people like you and me, and for people like, you know, the crazy liberal deep state people. And man, it's and we're seeing the reaction, and I love it, because I love seeing people hear those words and smile, and they have that inward gratitude of, you know, I'm being told that they will never forget the work that we're doing to bring about this better future for us and for our children. That is super powerful stuff. I can also envision, I'm glad I don't feel it in my own heart, but I can certainly envision the angst and the terror that those words have on the people who have perpetrated 9/11, the hoax, the Russian hoax against the president, and all manner of other.
Because he didn't say, "I will never forget" in this happy-go-lucky way. He said it like a general of a military says, "I will never forget."
That's right. Solemn. It's a solemn statement. And that's why it has such an opposite impact, and such as high impact, but in two different directions. Yeah, it's time to be solemn.
He also did set a number of traps or set bait for the mainstream media. One was he kept on saying things like, "I'm doing well, I think." So putting that uncertainty in there so that they could say, well. And then he, of course, didn't put on his orange makeup for one day, and that made him look pale and sickly. Yep. And he had his chief of staff, supposedly, I don't even know if this really happened, but supposedly Mark Meadows said, you know, there's not really a clear path to his recovery. And he said it off the record to reporters. And then the reporters jumped all over that and said, oh, maybe the president's dying and stuff. That's exactly what they wanted the press to do. Whether that was purposeful or not, they wanted the press to get the story wrong, like they always do. Like Kim Jong-un, he's dead, he's dying. They were wrong about that. And so it's just, they always end up looking like these hacks by the end of the story.
Yeah. I mean, he just, he has his way with them and he just toys with them like a cat with a mouse. It's quite amazing and pathetic at the same time to see them being so foolish and allowing him, letting him bounce them around the room like that. I mean, my God. And then, of course, there's why remdesivir and not HCQ? I didn't see HCQ mentioned once, did you?
Right. No.
Not once.
It's very curious. It's something that kind of blew my mind. You know, it's big bucks for pharmaceutical. So maybe he just kind of like made a deal with the pharmaceutical company and said, hey, if you make a drug that actually kills coronavirus, then I'll help you make money off of it. And then then he keeps on mentioning vaccines. So I'm really confused what the strategy
again,
is.
You know, the strategy is to keep them all dancing by coming out and saying it's remdesivir. Then the deep state isn't going to be as counter. They're not going to counter that the way they would HCQ. So that's why he would use remdesivir. Now, did he actually take remdesivir? I sorely doubt that.
Did he even have coronavirus? We don't know because
there you go.
Of all the timing and everything, this could have been an operation.
And he said he was taking HCQ prophylactically. So if he's doing that, then, you know, he's not going to have coronavirus. Even if he stopped doing it, I would be very questioning of his contracting the virus. So, and for him to get it, and the First Lady, and Kaylee, and, Christy, it's like, okay, you know, it's too much. It's like, this is like a shotgun blast to the American people. Holy crap, we're under attack. Only the Republicans are under attack, and that just shut up the left, you know?
Yeah.
They're like, ooh.
What Q has said about the coronavirus narrative is that the day after the election, it's over.
Exactly.
This whole thing is not a real threat physically to people any more than the flu is a threat to people physically. And so the scare tactic was only to win the election. And when they lose the election and they lose power, when the deep state loses its media power, this whole fear campaign is over in one day after the election.
One day after the election. And we've already gotten in Pennsylvania and Michigan, of all places, the federal federal district court has struck down their mandates, their mask wearing mandates. So we now already have two major states have now struck down the mask wearing mandate. So that momentum now is going to just continue. And I can guarantee you we're going to see more of those in other states. Those federal district courts are going to start handing down these rulings. And notice they didn't get contested. Scott Wolf, rather, did not contest it in Pennsylvania. Whitmer did not contest it in Michigan. They know they can't win. No way at all. So they're not even bothering. So, you know, it really, once the election happened, all of these things are already happening and people are going to be like, oh, thank God that's over. And those masks will never be seen again.
Well, I'm at the edge of my seat to find out about this announcement that's coming from the DOJ. I'm looking forward to find out who the next indictment is, because some people are pointing to the Q posts where the hands are at 10 and 2, 10 being J, 2 being B, John Brennan as the next placeholder in the line of indictments. And then someone pointed out that the next initials could be in a similar numerical order and have to do with the next person. So Any day now, the next thing is going to happen.
And watch the debate tonight, because Kamala Harris is going to be unhinged. Everything that's happening right now is going to, you know, have her totally off her feet. And I don't think she's going to do very well. But it'll be interesting to watch for sure.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for your insight, Jim. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you bet.
We have a live stream tonight at 6 p.m. Yep. Eastern, so we can discuss the DOJ announcement at that time.
Yeah,
and also, Q has been posting, so we can go over the Q posts as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, we have a lot going on. We're all very busy here, so stay tuned, everybody, because boy, oh boy, this is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Hi, I want to talk to you about why it's so awesome to join Patreon and how you can support my independent journalism and for you to get research and emotional support and coaching from me. Now, when you start your great awakening process, it can be a lonely journey. You feel like you have to keep your new discoveries to yourself because of social shaming for thinking differently. Now, you can struggle to find the right sources and you can spend hours just wasting your time. By becoming a patron, you not only help support me and independent journalists to help dismantle the lamestream media, but you get private access to me, someone who has already been down the road and can point you in the right direction. Now, depending on the tier, you can private message me with questions, or you can have live sessions with me to discuss your current challenges. Now, just by becoming a researcher, you have joined a global movement of others who want to know the truth. It's time for you to hook into that community and train yourself as a digital soldier for truth. Now, becoming a patron, you will get access to that private chat community where all opinions are welcome in an inclusive and supportive environment. You can chat with other patrons that are on the same journey as you, and they will also give you emotional and research support. So go to patreon.com/QAnonFAQ to join our private community right now. By supporting this channel, you help us expand our reach and educate the masses in the spirit of truth and unity. You can support our channel for free. Just share our content on social media. Every time you click share, it makes a difference. So subscribe to our podcast, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Gab, Twitter, and YouTube from the links below. And you can buy QAnon clothing and gifts to spread the Great Awakening at QAnonFAQ.com. And you can become a patron to join a private community of fellow truth seekers. It's patreon.com/QAnonFAQ.